All right. Today I have a very special guest. She's a friend that I've known since the very beginning of college. Actually, I met her, I think, maybe her first week in college. And since then, I've seen her go from Michigan to New York, and now we live together in San Francisco, even though I technically don't live here.
That's right.
Yes. So I kind of wanted to ask you, you've never been out here, but I've been trying to get you to move out to San Francisco or somewhere for years and years.
Yes.
And to be honest, I never thought you would actually do it.
I wasn't really sure I'd ever do that either.
There's actually a lot of doubt in my mind. So what made you actually make the push to come out here?
Well, I think that after New York, I did my 6-month stint in Geneva, and the thought of returning to New York, while I love New York and it's an amazing city, I didn't really want to go back to New York.
How long did you live there?
In New York?
Yeah.
Over 6 years.
And how long did you think you were going to live in New York when you first got there?
I had absolutely no idea, but at least a few years.
I mean, you did live with me for like, what, a month, maybe? 2 weeks in New York when you first came out?
Maybe 2 weeks.
Maybe 2 weeks. The happiest time of your life?
Oh, you know, nothing will ever beat it.
But you're done with it?
I don't know if I'm done with it forever, but it's a concrete city, you know, and I mean, Geneva is absolutely gorgeous, and just the thought about returning to such a concrete city where everything is just so quick and bustling kind of was not in the cards for me at the time.
What were you doing in Geneva?
I was working for an organization called International Bridges to Justice. And I was helping to launch their India program.
And did you want to stay in Europe after that experience, or are you like, I'm out and come back?
Well, I knew that I was going to be in Europe for only 6 months because I was applying to law schools.
Oh,
so, right. Yes. So, you know, clearly it was a temporary thing. I probably could have stayed.
You could have stayed for a while.
I could have stayed for a little longer. But probably not Geneva. I would have wanted to go to another city, probably.
So you've done New York for a long time. You're ready to leave. You came here.
Yes.
And then you actually ended up living with George for a short time.
Yes, for about 3 weeks. Yes.
And did you feel immediately at home? Like, tell me about like when you actually moved out here. What was different? What were your expectations?
Mm.
Like, what happened exactly?
Well, it was a crazy, crazy whirlwind. I moved here 2 days before orientation for law school, which any law student probably could tell you is pretty crazy and not a good idea, because in law school they start you off, you know, you have to hit the ground running and you have to be reading 24 hours a day starting, you know, your first day of orientation. So coming here and having absolutely no time to look for an apartment was really, really stressful, and George was an absolute godsend, and it was actually pretty awesome because, I mean, clearly I've been really good friends with you for such a long time, and I always, you know,
meaning my lesser half completely.
yes. So I mean, I didn't know George all that well before. I always knew she was a really sweet person, but honestly, George is amazing. Like, she really,
I'm gonna edit this out.
I know you are. That's why I'm gonna keep going with it. No, but really, like the really, really small things that matter huge when you're moving to a new city.
Yeah.
She totally just, you know, she thought about like things like having quarters for the bus, which could be really stressful in the morning. But she was like, you know, here's the whole like stack of quarters. Feel free to take them. Here's a plastic map for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's just, George is amazing. So it was fortuitous.
I mean, feel free not to answer if you're not comfortable, but would you say you would rather live with George than me?
I think I would. I'm sorry, John. I probably...
What basic roommate qualities do I possess that you would want to live with? I mean, don't give you quarters in the morning.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're saying is that's not good.
Exactly, John.
George takes care of that stuff for you? Okay. And then when you moved out...
Yes.
Before you lived in Brooklyn, and you kind of chose to live in an area of San Francisco that we're all a little bit concerned of. It's called the Tenderloin.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Which is where all the druggies hang out.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
A lot of the crazy people, and like it's notorious for sort of crime.
That's correct.
So like tell me a little bit about how safe you felt in New York versus here, and like what do you do about that, or you just didn't care? Because, I mean, I would obviously never be able to live in the Tenderloin because I'm afraid of things.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question, and actually goes back to your whole question about expectations about moving here. So I don't think I ever really realized how safe New York is, but and how I guess New York has been coined like the safest big city to live in the country. And, I mean, honestly, I feel like it's totally true. I mean, SF is way, way, way grittier than New York is. And it's absolutely true. I mean, the stereotypes you hear about in the Tenderloin, they're largely very true. You know, there were prostitutes on my corner every weekend night, sometimes weekdays. And yes, absolutely lots of crack addicts, heroin addicts. It was really, really sad just walking around, seeing people really, really cracked out. At the same time, they're so cracked out that they don't bother you. You know, it's so I don't think I necessarily felt that threatened ever personally. But I was definitely on guard a lot. I didn't walk through the streets at night by myself generally. You know, I would
only in San Francisco, but in New York, you would.
In New York, I totally would. I wouldn't blink an eye. I wouldn't take a cab just because of the fact that, oh, this area might be a little bit shadier.
And then, so one of the other things that I actually was wondering about, because I really want to move to New York, and even though I lived there for a very short time, I didn't really get to experience it. And so in my interim move to San Francisco, I thought I would be able to find the kind of things I was looking for as far as energy, as far as activities and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I kind of have, but it's been difficult because San Francisco is really different than New York. Yes. So I was wondering what you thought about, I guess, maybe not even culture events necessarily, but the difference between San Francisco and New York and the things that you can do and the types of activities and stuff like that.
Sure. I mean, activity-wise, I think that there's a lot going on in San Francisco. I just think, I mean, New York is a way, way, way bigger city. And so it's saturated with things to do all the time. And I think because of its amazing public transportation system and its layout, it just makes it so
easy. Public transportation in San Francisco sucks.
Yeah, and that's a huge thing. And I think that in San Francisco, neighborhoods are very, very separated. And because of the hills and the way the public transportation is laid out, it makes it really hard to go from one neighborhood to the other. While in New York, it's all flat. You know, you can easily just jump on and off the subway or just walk to other neighborhoods. And so you can just do, you can bar hop, you can movie hop, you can do a million things in a day.
And you're actually one of our only friends that we hang out with on a regular basis in San Francisco who didn't have a car.
Sure.
Like, you didn't have a car the whole first year you were here.
Right.
So, I mean, I hate public transportation, but you sort of had to do it.
Sure, right. Yeah, and I think, you know, living in New York for so long, it just totally spoiled me. And while San Francisco's public transportation is not terrible, it's just, it's, you know, after you live in New York, you know, trying to get around on public transport in San Francisco is just very frustrating and very time consuming. You know, doing one transfer to get to a neighborhood that will take you about 12 minutes to drive to can take an hour to an hour and a half. And that's in the middle of the day sometimes. So it's just very frustrating.
Sucks.
Yeah. And it just really, it limits your mobility. It limits your desire to do stuff, you know, in certain places. And so, yeah.
So what kind of stuff do you miss from New York, aside from maybe the food, but like maybe activities, what kind of things you do? I mean, obviously you dance a lot, and the dance scene out there is different, is it, than here?
That's, you know, interestingly, I love house dance a lot right now. The last few years I've been really pretty obsessed with house. And The amazing thing is, you know, about New York, one of the amazing things about New York is the house dance scene. It's so prolific there. It really, I mean, house music, you know, was started in Chicago, but the house dance scene has largely proliferated in New York. And so that's where I found house. And there's so many house events, and all the OG house dancers are out there, and the amazing house dancers are pretty much in New York. And so that was pretty awesome to experience. But at the same time, interestingly, you know, if you're a dancer trying to learn house, mm-hmm. it's a tough environment because it's such a competitive
in New York.
Yes, in New York, it's very competitive. If you're not amazing, it's hard to just literally find space, you know, to actually practice and dance. And
you weren't amazing?
No.
Well,
no, not at all.
I mean, we think you're amazing.
Well, thank you, Don.
But I mean, so in New York, I mean, your skills have obviously improved a lot since you've been out here.
Yes, yes.
Now, when you go back, are you like, hey, like I'm ready?
I mean, I definitely think I could go back and feel a lot more confident in just sharing my skills. But here, I mean, it's such a smaller community, and mostly everyone knows each other, and so it's a very open and, you know, warming community. I mean, there's amazing house dancers, just as amazing house dancers out here,
mm-hmm.
just far fewer, I would say.
It's a smaller community.
Yeah, so therefore, it's easier if you're a newbie trying to learn about the culture, learn different steps, learn different choreography, you know, etc.
How come in house dancing? I'm not experienced in house dancing. I've never actually even been into a class with you yet. Mm.
We shall make that happen.
We will make that. Well, we'll talk about that later. So, I mean, with house dancing, how come you? Are there nicknames for dancing? Because, you know, all the breakers have nicknames, like I'm Wiggly Wig, right. Or, you know, the hip hop people have. They all have nicknames. I'm Flo-bee or whatever.
Right.
You guys don't do that.
Not as much, I would say. Yeah.
Is there something you want us to call you when you're dancing? Like lethal something, you know, I mean, they don't, that's just not part of the culture.
Lethal Leslie. Not really. Not really. That's a really good question. I mean, I do think that, especially in breakdancing, and even a little bit in hip hop, but mostly in breakdancing, you know, there's battles all the time. Like you have your
b-boy
crew.
Yeah.
And so that whole, I think that culture of having battles and kind of manifests a desire to have, like, you know, your specific identity.
Oh, have like a superhero name.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah. And so, you know, and at the battles, it's like, you know, Swift versus, you know, Crazy Legs, you know, it's just, and it's like, it's how you gain recognition, and it's how you, you know.
But that doesn't happen even in New York, where there's, I mean, are there house dancing battles? Yes, I mean, I've
there,
seen
there them. Are, there are is battles
it, is it
now,
called a
but...
cypher? Well, no,
yes.
It is, it's also
well,
called a cypher.
I'm sorry, no, there's cyphers and then there's battles. So cypher is just, based essentially like a circle, you know, at the club.
Okay.
And, you know, one person goes in and he freestyles, and
right.
he or she freestyles, and then the next person comes in when the moment's right. And
right.
So.
But a battle would just be.
A battle is usually, you know, is a lot more organized. It's maybe, say 2-on-2. So it's a team of 2 versus a team of 2, but each person will go one at a time. Usually, or the team can do some choreography together, but usually one person will go in at a time and freestyle to whatever music is on.
What country are the best house dancers from? You've shown us DVDs from, like, Japan. Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, Europe probably has some really good ones.
Yes.
Like, what country is, like, the best?
I mean, again, I think it was mostly founded here. So, I personally think the OGs, the most amazing dancers, are generally from New York.
Give me some names.
Brian Greene.
Brian Greene.
He's a god.
Is his middle name Austin?
No.
If my name was Brian Green, I'd probably get a nickname, immediately.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. But no, really, he's kind of a... He is a dance god. He can pretty much do anything with his body. And I think what contributes to that is that he does all types of dance. You know, he's classically trained. He did ballet. He did jazz. He is an amazing hip hopper. He does some tap. He's such a well-versed dancer. So he's amazing. Paris, yeah, France. I don't really understand the connection between Paris and house, but I think that's the center of house dance probably in Europe. And Parisian house dancers are, I think, pretty awesome too. One of my favorites is Meech.
Meech.
He's just got this fluidity that is just, it's kind of mesmerizing. And I don't know, and this may sound really weird, but I think French culture, and because of its romanticism, and is really reflected in French house music and in French house dance.
So it's romantic.
It's like there's a fluidity, and I don't. It's a je ne sais quoi. I don't really know how to explain it. But do you remember Planet B-Boy?
Yes.
Do you remember they're watching? Amazing. Yeah. Do you remember watching them?
They're different style. Yeah. Very flowy. Yeah.
It's a little bit different. Versus like the U.S., which was very maybe even more so like Korea, which was very power move based.
That's true. Right.
Which is amazing in itself, but it's just completely different. Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, so for house dancing, I mean, I kind of know how hip-hop dancing looks like and what you can do with it in a club or whatever. You go to a house dance. House dance is primarily you're doing it in your own space. There's no touching other people.
Right, yeah.
How do you get your groove on? Like, when you're trying to flirt with somebody as a house dancer, like, what are you doing? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, with hip-hop dancing, you can kind of, like, go up to them and sort of do some things.
Right.
I don't know the specifics. I've never done it. But like house dancing, there's no sort of flirting mechanism?
I will say it's different because, you know, one reason why it's different is purely, literally because of the speed of music. Like, hip-hop, it's slow. You can get really intimate with somebody very quickly. Right. House, it's really hard. How quickly? Because you're both moving at a very high speed. It's kind of hard to, like...
try to match it up.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can still dance with somebody close, but generally you're not grinding.
Well,
there's no type of equivalent, I think, in house to grinding, and I think house is such a like a freestyle type of dance.
Yeah.
Not that hip hop isn't, but. I think there's a part of hip hop culture that is about like grinding and about kind of
sex on the dance floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But house is more
house
about
is really not. It's
doing it.
House moves. Is about I think that the spirit and culture of house is a lot about openness, open-mindedness, freedom, expression. House is very, very, very big and very important and just very, like, very big in the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a style, one kind of style of house dance called whacking,
mm-hmm.
or slash punking, and it's like a much, it's, and I'm, and I don't know the full history, so I don't want to like try to get into it, but it's essentially like a very feminized, way of locking.
Oh.
So yeah, they're locking and whacking are very close,
closely related.
Exactly. But whacking is a lot more feminine. And then you also have voguing, which is kind of in that same family. And voguing. Mm-hmm. And that's all right. Yes.
Thank you, America's the best.
Exactly. ABCD.
As I've been to your performances, some house performances, And last one we went to, you were the only female.
Sure.
And yes. So as a female house dancer, mm-hmm. or just as a female dancer in general, because, I mean, A, there are a lot of males, of course, and it's very male-dominated.
Yes.
And so as a girl, I mean, how do you feel, does that affect sort of either the acclaim you get or also the people who judge you? They're like, oh, man, that girl's like whatever. For example, when I see breakers, and I know more about breaking than house dancing, mm-hmm. Sometimes girls, I'm like, oh, they're okay. Mm-hmm. But like, compared to that guy, she's like, what? She's not that good.
Right.
So do you feel like there's pressure that you have to, I got to be as good as the guys? Or just because you're like, hey, I'm a girl and I can do it my way?
Right.
And I don't know, is there any sort of like difference between that? Or do people actually, do they... I don't really know what I'm looking for without being offensive, but do they look down on the girl dancers?
Right.
Do they? Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think personally, I have felt both. Okay. On the one end, I'm a female, therefore I have to, you know, aka prove myself a little bit more. On the other hand, there are many days I have also kind of just like, you know, I'm unique in that way. I'm a female,
right.
And there's just not as many. And sometimes, like, in the performance, I get more attention because I'm the only female.
You're in the middle.
Right, just because by virtue of being...
And you're good.
Oh, well, thank you. No, I think I was there because I was of the opposite sex. So, but I think regarding whether or not it's harder for females, I mean, I think it can be very intimidating.
Okay.
I think one reason there's maybe a lot more males in house dance and also in breakdancing is just the physicality of it.
Hmm.
House doesn't seem that physical, but it's very, very
it's
physical.
Very
it's a very physical dance. And I don't really quite get it. I'm not sure if it's just more females just aren't into house music or just aren't into house dance. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not sure if it's the biology, but that would be part of my guess. But there are certainly far fewer kind of female house dancers out there that are known and have made a name for themselves. And I think it's kind of goes also into the whole competitiveness of dancing, and house dance is a lot less competitive than breakdancing in hip hop, I would say, but at the same time it's still competitive. You know, there's to make a name for yourself, you have to be competitive.
Do you think you need more coordination and rhythm to be a good house dancer versus a hip hop dancer? Or it's a different kind of rhythm?
It's just a different kind. I think it's just a
what are my chances?
John, anything is possible.
That's not true.
No, it is. It really is. If you go to the right teacher, well, my house teacher is really awesome. He, I'm telling you, very, very
seriously.
There have been guys in my group or in the class that I thought would just, you know,
terrible.
They have absolutely no rhythm.
Yeah.
And a year later, I'm blown away.
Wow.
They're still a little bit awkward, but their skills are there.
Well, okay, let me ask you. What do you think it would take for us to turn George into a house dancer?
Well, if she wanted it, she could. I mean, it would take, you know, a while.
You've seen me through me and George are fine.
Okay.
Because everyone knows us. I mean, you've seen me through my dancing career. And you've actually seen me, the very first audition I went to, you led it, and you were in charge of the group, and we were friends, so you maybe would let me in anyway, but we didn't even try out because we were so afraid. So you've seen me hopefully come through some improvement during that time.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, with George...
Did you see her using them hips last night?
You did teach her how to use her hips.
No, I didn't teach her. I swear, they just came out.
Okay.
One day she had no idea. She was using her hips. And I was like, George, what are you doing? And she's like, oh my God, I don't know. What am I doing?
Do you think you can tell how good somebody will be just by looking at them? For example, you see somebody last year. And then a year later, you're like, oh yeah, I knew they had the potential to be a good dancer. Like, is that an innate sort of thing? Or it's just impossible to tell?
I think you can't tell right off the bat, only because, and this is, may sound cliche, but I really think at this age, 40% is natural skill and 60% is how much.
At this age, meaning 22? Like, what do you mean at this age?
Oh, like.
Like, now that we're over the hill? Like, what do you mean? Like, what is at this age?
Okay,
mean?
I would say after your mid 20s, because. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think your mid 20s is probably your peak in terms of your ability to be naturally good at a dance.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So I think, as I was saying, you know, there are some guys in my class, I mean, a year later, they're amazing. I mean, and when I tell you no rhythm, they had no rhythm before.
No rhythm.
But they worked their ass off, you know, for like a good year.
So and you can acquire rhythm.
You can acquire some rhythm, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I think a couple of them probably will always look a little bit awkward.
Could I have those names?
I thought you didn't want names.
Okay, so there's hope yet, you're saying, that for anybody out there, they can dance.
Yes, yes. But it is true, you know, I think if you've danced before or you kind of naturally have some rhythm, it'll probably be but a little bit easier for you.
Okay.
But natural skill will get you so far.
Okay. Any last encouragement for dancers everywhere?
Everywhere. you know, just envision yourself on the dance floor.
Dance like nobody's watching.
Dance like nobody's watching, exactly.
Your
exactly.
Email signature for the past decade and a half. Okay. Well, thank you for being here, and talk to you later.
Thank you.